In the news, a traffic stop late Monday morning in Creston resulted in an arrest. Authorities say 22-year-old Kane Farlow of Creston was charged with operating a vehicle without the owner's consent and driving while barred. Later that same day, after Creston police executed a search warrant at Farlow's residence, he was subsequently charged with possession of a controlled substance first offense marijuana, possession of a controlled substance first offense methamphetamine, and possession of drug paraphernalia. Farlow was being held in the Union County Jail on $6,300 bond. And at around 3:30 this morning, 26-year-old Anna Wilson of Creston was arrested at her residence in the 1100 block of South Cherry Street for possession of a controlled substance, first offense, possession of paraphernalia. Also arrested at the same location on a possession of a controlled substance charge was 24-year-old Zachary Scheel. Wilson was being held in the Adams County Jail on a $1,300 bond. Scheel was being held in the Union County Jail on a $1,000 bond. Western Iowa Electric Cooperatives have been notifying customers of the potential of rolling blackouts taking place throughout the day today. Raccoon Valley Electric Cooperative of Glidden CEO Jim Gossett says there's an extremely high demand due to the frigid temperatures. The power may need to be rationed.
A rolling blackout just means that one of our substations is going to get shut down for about 45 minutes, and those members on those substations are going to be out of power. That's all directed by our power supplier, but we want to be able to notify our members as best we can.
Gossett said the blackouts are controlled by the power supplier. He says the rolling blackouts protect all users.
In order to save from the whole system from losing power, we cut some load, we cut some demand purposely on probably a substation at a time, depending on what our power supplier tells us to do.
Calhoun County Electric Cooperative Association and other rural providers are sending similar warnings to their customers. Gossett said they're not experiencing an emergency. They're just protecting themselves from one. Rolling blackouts are possible through at least this evening, and most are likely during peak usage times, which are generally between 7 a.m. and 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. and 8 p.m. He encourages people to reduce their electricity consumption, especially during those time frames. And you can do that by delaying non-essential power usage,
such as dishwashers, dryers, anything that uses power. Shift that to after 8 o'clock at night. That's the best thing that we can do. And because we're on a high alert for rolling blackouts, you certainly would want to be able to keep yourself warm as best you can. Although in 45 minutes, most locations will not see a dramatic drop, even in cold weather.
He suggests people prepare for a temporary loss of power in the same way they would plan for a storm-related outage. Have a few flashlights handy ahead of time, have an extra layer of clothes ready, and conserve heat by limiting trips outside. MidAmerican Energy issued a statement Monday afternoon encouraging homeowners with natural gas heating systems to reduce usage as supply is limited due to frozen wells in the southern U.S. MidAmerican said the company was not experiencing any problems with electric supply. Alliant Energy released a statement saying it is projecting sufficient supply to meet the needs of natural gas and electric customers. National Weather Service's temperature should be returning to more normal levels for February by the end of this week. Iowa lawmakers are considering what may be required of companies applying for state money to extend broadband service to areas where it's not available. Governor Reynolds has called for $450 million in grants over 3 years, but only for companies offering download and upload speeds of 100 megabits per second. Doug Strike is a lobbyist for Mediacom. He says Mediacom's speeds fall below that standard, so the company wouldn't be able to get state grants to extend its fiber network.
An additional piece, Mediacom has acquired portions of the spectrum in 33 counties to be able to provide fixed wireless. We run a wire into the town, we go up to a high point, say the grain elevator, and then we throw a signal out between 7 and 10 miles, which hits antennas on the homes and provides fixed wireless to those. It's a very rapid deployment. We don't have to run fiber to the home. It's a much less expensive way of providing it.
Tim Fensel is general manager of the Danville Mutual Telephone Company. He says it's less expensive to build a higher speed broadband network now rather than build a lower speed network that has to be upgraded several times.
100 by 100 meg is critical for any business, homeowner, students, and more so now that we're doing Zoom and those types of things.
The Iowa Business Council, the Iowa Chamber Alliance, and other development groups support setting the higher internet speed standard for state broadband grants. And some Iowans serving a life sentence could get a pathway to parole under a bill co-sponsored by a bipartisan group of 18 Iowa House members. Republican Representative Terry Baxter of Garner said not all adults sentenced to serve the rest of their lives in prison deserve a second chance, but some do.
When someone commits a crime under the influence of alcohol or drugs or coming from a background of abuse themselves, they're not in their right mind. There are many people who, in the process of being incarcerated, go through such a change in their life, rehabilitation and transformation, they are no longer the same people that committed that crime.
Under current law, the only way a life sentence can be overturned is if the governor issues a pardon or commutes the sentence to time already served. The bill would create a commission to review certain cases after a person sentenced to life has been in prison for 25 years. The commissioners could recommend the governor approve release. Baxter, who has worked in the prison ministry, said some people who commit serious crimes undergo a transformation.
I am thankful that God gave me mercy. I received a second chance. I'm no longer the man I used to be. And I believe that people can and do change. And I believe in the dignity of human life and that people deserve a look when they've gone through that change.
Lawmakers on a House subcommittee reviewing the bill plan to have more discussions about it. Life without the possibility of parole is the sentence in Iowa for first-degree murder or when someone is found guilty of kidnapping or sexual assault with serious injury. A lobbyist for county attorney says those are serious crimes, and it's hard to imagine telling a family that the person sentenced to life for murdering their relative was being released from prison. A Dubuque man who was granted a new trial by the Iowa Supreme Court last year is seeking a change of venue. 28-year-old Fonte Bulow filed Thursday for the change of venue from Dubuque County, saying media coverage of the case has made it impossible for him to get a fair trial there. Authorities say Bulow fatally stabbed his girlfriend, 21-year-old Samantha Link of Piasta, on March 31, 2017, while Bulow has maintained that Link stabbed herself twice in the chest. Bulow was convicted of second-degree murder in 2018, but in December, the state Supreme Court ordered a new trial, saying information about Link's prior suicide attempt and mental health records should have been allowed. And finally in the news, Iowa's Insurance Division Fraud Bureau reports a Marshalltown woman reportedly pled guilty to one count of theft in the third degree. Authorities say 60-year-old Deborah Specht was originally charged with one count of fraudulent submissions, a Class D felony, one count of felony first-degree theft following an investigation by the Iowa Insurance Division Fraud Bureau. Iowa Insurance Commissioner Doug Oman said insurance fraud is not a victimless crime. We all pay for the fraud in the form of higher insurance costs. On July 19th, 2018, in Marshalltown experienced severe weather. The investigation found after the event that Specht fabricated damages to her property as a result of the weather and submitted false identification, or information that is, regarding the cause of the damage in support of an insurance claim. She received benefits to which she was not entitled. And on February 9th of this year, Specht received a deferred judgment after pleading guilty to theft in the third degree. She was ordered to pay restitution in the amount of $23,376 to her insurer, pay a civil penalty of $625, which was suspended, and Specht was placed on probation for a period of 1 year. That is a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.